time stamped in there. rdnap@supernovaconsulting.com, and I copied rdnap@gmail.com on the first one. And then the second one I just sent to Cindy's work email and your work email.
25th.
Anyway, it's not a big deal. You can circle back to her after our call and find out what happened, but.
It didn't, I don't have an email from you on the 25th.
Yeah.
Why? I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, you might just check with her after this call and see if somehow it went in, my email went in your junk box.
Yeah, it's probably what happened. I don't know why it would.
But then why don't you have her see what happened on September the 8th? Because I didn't get a response on September the 8th either from either her or you. And see, maybe you guys just need to check off, you know, put my, always have my email go into your whatever box, whatever. Anyway, the subject of the email, I don't know if it's still available or not, was basically, I don't do any advertising now, and I haven't done it for a long time, but it was an opportunity to be like sort of in a, I guess it's a directory specifically for these country clubs.
Yeah, I you and I even talked about that.
No, we hadn't talked about it.
Well, I told you, I answered you.
I have no email from you in response to that.
I told you that I didn't think it was a very good idea, that it didn't seem to apply, and that it would be too general, and I didn't think it was a good value for your money.
Okay. Can you forward me that email? Maybe that went to my junk box. I certainly have missed emails before.
Did you send me another one just like that before?
I don't think so.
You only sent me one, right?
Right. I believe so.
Yeah. And I spent some time looking at it, and I sent you a very kind of a detailed analysis of the situation.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the feedback. Somehow I didn't get that email. Can you forward that email to me?
I wonder if we should use text.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah. So my text, 317-418-8624.
317-417.
418.
418.
8624.
Okay.
So it just would prevent this sort of garbage.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Cause I can't guarantee that they're going to light me up.
Hey, look, I got a referral the other day via email and I missed the email. I guess it was on a busy day and I've even got like folders set up where clients' emails are supposed to go in the client folders and her email didn't go into that email box.
All right. I've got social. I've got them separated, but.
Right. But sometimes it doesn't always follow the rules.
Right. So if you send me a text, then I'll send you a text and we'll be all hooked up and I'll.
Okay.
I know I've got your, information in my, you know, I've got an account, you know, a client, whatever they call it.
Yeah. Right. I got you. Well, I agree. I guess I agree with your analysis. That was, kind of my thoughts, but I thought, that's interesting. But since I'm not a member of any of those country clubs, then it probably doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. I think that the last thing you want to do at a country club is appear as though you want business. That sounds crazy, but you want to be there for all the reasons that you're in a country club. Because you like the people and you want to... You don't want to be a guy that either needs or wants the business. You want to be a guy that, you know, you're very happy to help somebody if they, reach out to you, but that's not what we're here for. So it's socially, it's sort of, I'm not saying it's taboo. It's just, and a lot of people do very well with it, but it's more a matter of, kind of, you know, prospecting, how do you get introductions without you asking? It's kind of the idea.
Right.
You make yourself so attractive, you become magnetic marketing.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, I do have a few success stories. So I'm gathering about $2 million of new money, this week. One is from one of my clients, sons who we offered Supernova to, and you know, we're doing that for him for his, cause his mom's 91 and, you know, he's going to be one of the heirs someday. So through that process, we talked with him about his 401k and how we could help him. And so we rolled over $1.1 million on Friday out of his company 401k that he still works for because he's over 59 and a half into a self-directed IRA. So that's good. And I know that he wants to retire in the next couple of years. And I know that he has other monies from some stock options and other things from the company. So that's good news. And then also we're getting about another $1 million from a property that his mom sold that she's adding to the account. So that's good news. And then I also have an appointment from an introduction with someone else at my church. And this will be our third meeting. And they've got about $1 million plus if they work with us. So that's really good. That got a follow-up meeting that this week. And then we have another follow-up meeting with the client. I guess technically this will be the fourth meeting. Normally at the third meeting, both spouses are there and we make a decision to move forward or not, or they think about it. But for whatever reason, his wife wasn't present at that meeting. And so he wanted her to be a part of that decision. So this is our fourth follow-up meeting, which is the dad of one of our existing clients. And if they work with us, it's going to be, there's about $2 million of monies altogether. It'd just be a matter of whether we gather them all up or not, or how much of that we gather up.
Yeah. Great.
I tend to be sort of the place in my career where I really want to manage everything or don't really want to work together because, you know, but it's not like a hard and fast rule. It's just, I kind of feel like I'm kind of there. Like either you want me to help you with everything or I don't really want to, I don't know how to phrase it. I don't want to say I don't want to compete with someone else. It's just that I can't really help you if there's, if you're asking me to watch your kids in my backyard, I can watch your kids in my backyard. But if they're at the neighbor's house, I can't watch them or know what's happening, you know. And so, you have any thoughts about that?
I think that's a great analogy. And I think one of the things that the words that I used were, you know, I've got this vision of Chicago streets, the wind blowing and certificates are flying all over the place. And I always say people talk about they want to be diversified, but in reality, what they are is scattered all over the street. So the word scattered is much more of what is in reality. And I say, for example, you have different money with different financial advisors and different mutual funds, all owning Apple computer. So how much Apple do you actually own? And if you remember, at one time Apple collapsed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
And I don't know what the next collapse is going to be, but do you know, are you over concentrated in one particular industry or stock or, and it's clear we're all over concentrated in technology today.
Right.
Technology is 27% of the S&P 500.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And oil is 3%.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing that runs everything right now is 3%. So you tell me whether people are properly asset allocated or not. Just because you're embarrassed to say you own oil because of some ESG rule doesn't mean that oil is not going to be the best performing part of the index for the next 3 years. Could be. And if you don't own it, you can be screwed because, and I don't know, it's not just risk of loss. It's risk of opportunity, right?
Right.
So if I can't manage your risk, which is really what I'm doing. That's what you're paying me for. You're managing the risk, watching your children. Do you think I'm watching the children because I help them play? No, I'm watching the children to make sure that one of them doesn't fall in the swimming pool and drown, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're hiring me for. That's what I'm really there for, to get them out of the house if there's a fire. I mean, that's what I'm here for in managing your money. Okay. And if I don't know where your kids are, I love that. If I don't know where they are, how can I save them? you know, I might have done a beautiful job for you and you had 50% of your money where the guy just went on vacation, you know, and left for 2 years. Didn't do anything. Because he's close to retirement, you know.
Right. Hey, by the way, have you tried the Five Daughters?
No, the donut place, right?
Yeah.
No, I talked to my daughter about it, but I haven't gone there. No.
All right. You're going to have to make that a pick up from school activity if they're still open that late, but they probably are. They're good donuts. They're life-changing donuts as far as donuts go.
That's great. I'll have to look and see where it is. I got to pick up my, actually, I need to pick up my granddaughter at school.
So I think another answer to this question, but another question is, so one of our clients, who's been a client for many years, 20, I'd say close to 20 years maybe. And, when we present and we actually gathered using 1242 and Supernova and the folder and the, everything, gathered up the rest of his assets when the other advisor retired. And then there was another advisor. There's actually two. There's actually one other advisor. I can't remember the order we gathered, but one advisor he'd been with like for 40 years. That guy retired and he moved that to us. And then there was a, when he had sold his practice, he didn't put that money with me. He put it with a bank broker and that bank broker left retired and he moved that to us. So everything's gone well. We have a great relationship. But he said a couple of times now to my staff, hey, look, I really don't need the monthly calls. And a lot of them he can't make. A lot of them he says, hey, I can't make that call next week, whatever, you know, just. So should I move him to court to just do 4-1? What are your thoughts about that?
How much money does he have?
It's about $1.5 million.
No, you should, make sure you're having something that's of interest to, a lot of people as part of your, you know, your 24 month calendar of ideas.
Uh huh.
Take a look at that and make sure it's, make sure it's interesting enough. You've done a financial plan for him and everything.
Yep. And he's very, very happy with me. And it gets some of the pushback from the wife, like, we just don't need to see him that often. We need to go, you know, we trust him. We got everything with him. It's all working well, you know, and, you know, he's working in the practice 2 days a week and he's playing golf the other days of the week and going to the shooting range. And
what's his practice?
He's a dentist.
Dentist.
And like, again, we have a great relationship. It's in the past before we did 1242, I would call them monthly and most of the time I would get their recorder, right? And leave a detailed message and they would get regular cards in the mail for me, you know, not just, you know, appointment. Yep. Cards. And we would have at least a minimum annual meeting.
Yep.
If not a summit prior, right? So, you know, it's kind of that fine line of like, where do you, you still want to provide good service, but at the same time, someone's saying like, look, I don't want to talk to you every month. I don't, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I know. It's, this one is.
Like the other new client that I just told you about that we just rolled over his, we set him up on 1242 originally, but he's a corporate executive and he's pretty high up the ladder running a semiconductor company. And like, he couldn't make like calls. And he finally told my staff, he said, look, let's just do this quarterly. I can't make it every month. Just set me up on a quarterly meeting with Preston. So we did, yeah. And he's happy, you know? So we can think about it and circle back.
Is there any rationale to doing a call with the wives?
With the wife or without the wife?
Just with the wife.
Sure. Without him. I mean, like, I think I get more pushback. Like sometimes when we've come in for the meetings, she hasn't even, like, she'll come for one, like for the annual meeting, but sometimes, you know, he's like, I kind of, and she likes me. I have a really good relationship with her. There's not any, you know, it's not like she doesn't like me or she don't want to be involved. It's just like, I trust Preston and, you know, she's been to meetings and I'm good.
Yeah, the reality is if you try and do 12 meetings, you know, some of my best guys have said, you know, Rob, I don't end up getting 12 done. On average, I'll get 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
because of people canceling and, you know, we're on vacation. And then I have my assistant do one and I said, that's fine. That's a good number. I don't know. I certainly you don't want to alienate the person.
Right. And sort of the, what I have said to clients before, in fact, I had a client who just passed away and we actually met Thursday before he passed away and he passed away unexpectedly on Saturday. Right. It's kind of wild, but he actually said at that meeting, look, do we really need to do the 12 meetings a year? And I said, you know, can't we just do, you know, whatever? And I said, yes. And I said, because I want to at least have one time a month where you have it on my calendar, you have it on your calendar, have it on my calendar for us to have a conversation. And if you can't make it that month, that's okay. But at least you know you've got scheduled time with me on your calendar and it's on mine. And, you know.
Yeah, I would try and press that forward and simply say that. It, you know, because let's say that you got something on your mind and you want to talk to me and you're thinking about picking up the phone.
Right.
Just save it for that call. And right. Then you don't have to worry about playing phone tag and I'm worried about missing the call and you missing the call or whatever. We just have that time reserved. And if you need it, great. If not, just don't feel bad. Just say, I don't need it. But if you're worried about what's happening in China and how's that going to affect the portfolio, you can, you know, I'll answer your questions. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you happen to know somebody that would like to take advantage of our services, we're always here to help you. So, I mean, that's one of the other things, you know, don't be afraid to ask for an introduction from those people that are really that happy.
by the way, something else that we're doing, I think I might have told you about, but, you know, now that we can get testimonials, so our marketing team, so I've identified several different clients, and so our marketing team has been reaching out to them, and then they're asking them 4, 5, or 6 specific questions. You know, first of all, when in my 1242 call, I asked them, hey, they changed the rules in our industry. We can now get testimonials. Would you, you know, you've been a great client of ours. Would you mind giving me a testimony? Oh, I'd be happy to. Yeah. Okay. I'll have my marketing team reach out to you. They'll send you some questions and then the marketing team will massage those questions and answers and sort of put them in a, what sounds really good. And then they'll send it back to them and say, okay, this is kind of what we got. Are you okay with this? And then be able to put that on our website.
So, that's great.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. I think that's terrific. And by the way, dentists are notorious for getting introductions from each other. That's how they work.
Okay.
They're experts at giving introductions to their associates that do, you know, that's how they do it. They pass business back and forth.
Speaking of that, introductions, another client of mine who is a dentist, still working full time, is transitioning his practice from one area to this area. So he's working like 3 days a week there and 2 days a week. He actually sold his practice there, but he has to finish out the 2 or 3 year term. And so I asked for an introduction to both of the dentists here and he said he's going to give me one. Unfortunately, in the interim, their son got COVID pretty bad, was in the hospital and is just now in rehab. So, so that kind of got delayed, but they brought that up the other day on the call. Hey, I hadn't forgotten about you. I'm still going to introduce you to these two doctors. Just looking for a time. The other doctor just had a baby, so I'll be working more there, but I mentioned it and we're going to get together. So that's
great. Good. Nice move.
And that was from the introduction script and practicing that. And
oh, good.
Yeah.
That's great.
So what else do we want to talk about today or think about or focus on?
I guess I've been working on niches, this week.
Okay.
With a lot of, you know, with the people I've been talking to, it just seemed to, you know, these things sort of roll around, come around and, it's just this concept of a niche mastermind group. So you pick a niche like car dealers, right?
Right.
They make a lot of money. They're right now, they got a shortage of cars, but other than that, they're coining it. So instead of car dealers making $1 million a year like they used to, they're making like $2 million a year if they could get any cars, or $3 million, or they're flying around on private jets, and they're typically simple guys. You know, they're not usually complicated humans. And they're usually nice guys, because they gotta be to be a car dealer, right?
I don't know. I worked in that industry before. I wouldn't say nice is not the category I put them in, but.
Right. Yeah. But you know what I mean? They're outgoing and so forth. I mean, you gotta be able to trust them. You don't want to have a crook, you know, right. Do business with crooks, but let's say you can trust them and they're good human beings. What you want to think about is who are all, and if you worked in that business, you know what I'm talking about. So you take, and this is just an example, but you take a car dealer and you say, okay, who does he write his checks to every month? All right. This would be your mastermind group. This would be all the people that serve car dealers. So who are they? Who do they write their checks to? Some of the biggest checks they write are
advertising.
Advertising, exactly. Mm-hmm. Radio stations, newspapers, now probably internet, right? Providers. So, but traditionally those guys take them on trips and they, you know, take them all over the place on them, right? On the radio station or the newspaper or whoever the hell they're, because they're big advertisers, TV stations, right? Big TV stations.
Yeah.
So those people would be one, right? They buy a lot of tires, right? They buy a shitload of tires from Firestone dealers and others. That would be a supplier. They all have they have some CPA that probably does works for all of them. Attorney, they've got contractors that build buildings for them. They got their supplier of automobiles that sells them automobiles.
That's kind of changed though. Now they pretty much all the new car stores make them buy at the auction and they make them sell them at the auction. Cause there was,
well, there in was, the auction, the
there
auction.
Was too many envelopes passing hands.
So the auction is, the auctioneers that was one of my next door, my neighbors ran a big auction house. So it's just one of those things where you kind of make this big long list and you could even brainstorm with a dealer, you know, who do you write your checks to? And then you get those people together, assuming that they're decent human beings, and you figure out how can we work together to serve this client better? And then maybe once a year you get a car dealer there as a guest of your group and say, okay, how can we help you? Tell us how we can best serve you. You know what we do. How can we best serve you? So then you know, let's say you're in a meeting like that with those people every other month or every month. With all those service people, right? You're not going to get them all in one place all at once, but let's say you could. It would really be in an interesting meeting, right?
Right.
You'd know everything that was going on in the car dealer business, and they would find out everything that's going on. And so somebody is doing something that somebody didn't know about, and you refer them to somebody else. So this becomes a great network of people that never talk to each other.
I do have another kind of in line with that we could build on, have a good, a good testimonial or good report. So, yeah. So it's my personal CPA that does our own stuff, but also I've introduced him to some of our clients and he's working with some of our clients now. And we had a scheduled lunch meeting. So we have a quarterly scheduled meeting. And I was just refreshing him about what we do and how we help people and talking about this new tool that we have where we can link to someone's 401k at their company and then actively manage that 401k with this technology, with the funds that they have, and make changes on a regular basis and be able to log into that portal and stuff. And so he was like, wow, that's really interesting. So he said, you know, I know some people over at AMD, you know, it's a publicly traded company, right? And they're headquartered here in Austin. And, that would be really valuable to them. I'm sure they're, you know, have done really well with the stock of AMD, and, you know, they're probably overweighted in their 401k with AMD, and, you know, they probably got options and all this kind of stuff. So I said, so we talked about certain things. And then when we were finished at the meeting, I said, by the way, how would you propose, that you introduce me to these people at AMD, you know, and when should we get together? And he said, well, actually what I was thinking about was, is their, my connection is actually their lobbyist who lobbies, and she knows all of the top executives and people over there. So she works for AMD and she's her lobbyist. And he said, I'd like to set up a lunch meeting between the three of us and introduce you to her. And then she could introduce you to these people. And I was like, yay. And, so that's really good. And like I was telling my wife, Shelly, like that one introduction, that could be a game changer for us, right? Like, we could be like you were with Eli Lilly or UPS. Like, we could be their in-house, you know, like, hey, we help all their top executives, their 401ks and their options. And so that was a good success story, kind of thinking in line with that. There's a challenge I'm having, and I've had this challenge in the past before we started working together, but I would even say more so having it now, even trying to implement, and work with subject matter experts, even like mastermind and things like that. And that is, so like the CPA that, you know, we're kind of making progress with, and we introduced some clients to, and she said the last time we met that she had to fire one person, and I guess either someone else has quit or fired. And so our last scheduled meeting, she had her staff tell my office, look, you know, we're not taking on any new clients.
Wow.
And we're not, and we lost an employee. And so as a result, you know, the CPA is not meeting with any other people or whatever. And so then I asked, she wanted to cancel the meet. She's not doing any lunch meetings because it was a lunch. We have a quarterly lunch meeting scheduled.
Not about lunch.
I don't know about lunch. And so, so I had Zam said, well, you know, why don't you just suggest we could do a Zoom, right? And see if maybe we could just push it out and just do it via Zoom. And then so the CPA replied back, I lost an employee. We're shorthanded. I'm not taking any new clients, and I will start, and I'm not having, but she says something kind of irritating. I'm not having any marketing meetings or networking. I think she said networking meetings. And of course I would introduce Preston to anybody that came to mind or that was a good fit for him. But is there something specific that you need, you know, whatever. And so I just left it because my staff said, how do you want us to respond? I said, just leave it there. Let's wait till they get through October 15th. Let's wait till things kind of settle down. And then maybe I can have a phone call with her or stop by and sit check on her and stuff like that. So I'm giving you that information. And I also find this a real challenge in my BNI network, that I'm in, is that when we try to attract the best top talent in our community, which is really who you want in your BNI network, they're busier than they want to be. Like, they're trying to figure out how to, you know, be less busy, right? Like, they're not looking for any new business, right? They want, and so, and especially in a smaller community. So it's a continuing, there's going to be a challenge for me, in finding those experts and then find they're just too busy as it is. And they don't really want any more new business, you know. So then you find someone that's looking to grow. They're either young or new or inexperienced or all of the above. And that's certainly who. So I'm curious your thoughts on that. And, you know, it's a challenge in every one of these areas.
One of them, and I would try and coach them if I could, if they'd listen, on doing Supernova with their practice.
Yeah, I suggested that to the CPA when we met last time. You just need, you know, why don't you either give away or sell like 300 of your, you know, whatever the number is, and just get down to your core group of people. Cause she'd even said, and she was like, yeah, I need to do that. But, you know, getting people to actually do that is a whole other thing.
So that's the best answer. The second best answer is find the second best person in the community, and nurture them and meet them and help them and grow them. You're in a very fast growing community like Nashville. And so, you know, people that are good are busy and life is lucky right now. It won't always be like that, but it is right now. So I've got to go and do the grandfather thing.
Okay. Should we move our meeting to a different time? Because I know last time we kind of got cut short, which I certainly understand you have to pick up your granddaughter, but.
Yeah, it's 30 minutes. It really doesn't cut it short. I mean, that's 30 minutes is what we contract for.
Okay.
So that's, you know, I can go 35 or 40 minutes and I usually go over.
Right.
But basically what you're paying for is 30 minutes. So.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Have a nice afternoon. Don't forget about the donut place. All right.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.